Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the saints of God now say that his mercy endureth forever. And truly, I was glad, and I know that you are too, when they said unto me, unto us, collectively speaking, let us go into the house of the Lord. What is this house of the Lord? The house of the Lord is the place of holy habitation where we fellowship with the power of God's anointing, where we allow his presence to be felt, that we open up our hearts and our minds and channel in on the power of his presence. And we're thanking God today. We know that it's the day after what the world celebrated as Easter. But we as true believers of God and of Jesus Christ, we recollect the Resurrection Sunday. That's right. We acknowledge it. And you know what we acknowledge? Also, along with the Resurrection Sunday, we acknowledge to the fact that all power given in the heavens and in the earth are in Jesus Christ's hands, because he is Lord. He is Lord to the glory of God. And as the songwriter said, every knee shall bow. And that's scriptural too now. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And oh, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. And we know, we already know this, that it's in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. Isn't it a wonderful time to be healthy and alive and full of the Spirit of the Lord and in the land of the living and fellowshipping amongst true believers? Isn't it a wonderful time? We're not playing church. We are the church. That's right. We are the embodiment of his omnipotence, his omniscient, omnipresence. That's right. We reflect whom it is that we are. That's right. We don't have to speak a word. We don't have to say a thing. Our presence should connotate the power of his sovereign majesty. And I'm so glad to be here with you. That's right. Here on this glorious, victorious Monday, April the 1st, 2024. And I know that some in the world are saying, oh, it's April Fool's Day. No. We're acknowledging that this is a day that the Lord hath made and that we will rejoice and be glad in it, because we know it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. That's right. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We are entering into the gates with thanksgiving. We are entering into his courts with praise. We are thankful unto him as we bless his name, for we know that the Lord, he is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. When we say endure, it lasts. It actually manifests unto all generations. That's right. That's right. And you know that God promised us longevity. He promised us prosperity. He promised us excellence in our health, loving relationships. He promised us the good of the land, but he requires obedience from us. For the scripture has told us it's better to obey than to sacrifice. That's right. You know, obedience accounts for many great things happening in the lives of believers. That's right. You can give all of your alms. You can donate to those who are in need. And you can be that existential shoulder to cry on and to lean on. But unless you obey God, you do this all in vain. That's right. And it's better to obey. You rather obey, willingly so submit. Obedience means willingly submit to God in the here and now, than be made to submit later on down the line. And when you're made to submit, you're going to receive the chastening of the Lord. Because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. I don't know who that word is for out there in listening land, but let me tell you something. You've come up against some hard confrontations, difficulties, struggles. God is attempting. He's trying to reach you. But you allow yourself to be distracted by so many people, so many circumstances. Through the desires of your flesh, you avoid the possibility of obedience. God loves you. I don't know who this is for, but it's for you, and I've got to speak it. But he's constantly trying to get your attention, and you keep ignoring the message. Then you think that God is not on your side. God is on your side, but he's waiting for you to submit and to obey him. And it's better to obey than to sacrifice. That's right. You've allowed people to come into your life to distract you, hold you into a sense of despondence, a sense of procrastination. You're seeking now to fulfill the desires of your flesh. God spoke to us in his word, and he told us to seek first the kingdom of God, the will of God, the way of God, and all of its righteousness. Because, you know, God's path is the righteous path. It's not the popularity path that other people are going down to gain momentum, to get attention, and to get recognition. It's the path that's straight and narrow. And Jesus told us, few will follow it. But all the wide path, the popularity path, where you can do what you want to do, say what you want to say, go with you where you want to go, and act the way you want to act, everybody's following that path. You know why? Because it's so easy. It's so easy. There's no challenges. There's no difficulties. Because why? You're gratifying and satisfying the flesh. But all this path of righteousness, you're going to pay the price. You're going to have many lonely days. You're going to have sometimes restless nights because God will allow burdens to be upon you for his people, not only his people here in the continental U.S. of A. or Canada or South America, but people in other lands. God's children represent a vast emporium of cultures, of climates, of geographical locations. Because don't forget, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. So sometimes the very people that God tells us to pray for, we may have never, ever met them. And I'm going to tell you something that's miraculous and meticulous about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will call out sometimes names of individuals. You never even met them. Sometimes faces come to mind because God has that interplanetary connection with us and his other children. That's right, because we share the same genetics, the same spiritual genetics. And these are our kin, our connected family in other lands. Do you not know, as I'm speaking to you, this is a powerful word. I hope you reach out and grasp it so you can experience a life-changing transformation that's scheduled for you. So you can no longer excuse yourself or blame others for what you haven't received. You know, God uses us as a vehicle to get those breakthroughs to come through. God uses us as the tool to get the momentum going. And here's the time, place, and location where God is doing that. And you know that there's some believers in various cultures and various geographical locations. They cannot come out publicly and worship God. Did you know that? Let's pray for them. It's some that are taking a chance on their lives to go out and to minister to others. Even here and now, what I'm doing, broadcasting to you here on the Blog Talk Radio Network with the manner of speaking. Don't you know in some cultures and some geographical locations, it is dangerous to do what I am doing, ministering the truth? People will sometimes want to seek your demise because you speak the truth. You're not following some cosmopolitan belief system. You're not putting on some cosmetic performance to gain a reputation, but you're real about what you speak, you're real about the way you live, and you're real about what you do. And don't you know that many have been persecuted for this? So let me tell you something. Believe it or not, whether you do, it doesn't matter. And whether you don't, it doesn't matter. But it's an impact because the Lord told us if we would take up his cross, that means his word, his life, his testimony, and we would go forth in his name. Yes, we're on the reciprocating end of miracles because God is manifesting miracles in us, with us, and through us. We have to partake our miracles first before we can reach out and allow God to use us to perform miracles in the lives of other believers and non-believers. He said we would speak with new tongues. We cast out devils. That's right, cast them out in his name. And that we would go into the hedges, the highways, the byways, and we would speak the word of God, male and female alike. God does not look at us as male and female. The scripture tells us, and Apostle Paul gave witness, there is no male or female in Christ, no Jew or no Greek, no bond or no free, no manservant nor maidservant. We are all one in the body of Christ. And when you are operating, this is revelation knowledge. Listen, this is the Rhema word of knowledge. When you are working through the power of the Holy Spirit, God sees you as his divine creation. He doesn't categorize or characterize us. He sees us as an entire entity. That's right. Where his presence and his spirit is moving in us, with us, and through us to do his work, his will, and his way. Don't you know God rewards us? Don't you know we receive reward from God? Sometimes we just always think it's money. Well, God knows our needs, and he will supply that fund or that money or those financial provisions for us. Sometimes those blessings that God gives us is an extended life. Maybe your lifespan was supposed to be consummated at 72 years old or 82. And God in his infinite mercy says, because of your obedience, because of your willingness to submit to me, this is a word of knowledge. Grab this word while it's hot off the press. And God may say, I'm going to give you 112 years upon this earth. And not only am I going to give you 112 years upon this earth, I'm going to give you excellent health. Disease, plague, sicknesses, infections, these things will not come into your body. Don't you know that's better than gold? Don't you know that's more precious than platinum? Don't you know that's more refined than the finest of silver? That's right. God loads us up daily with benefits. And when we serve him, he pays us. Jesus said, go into the vineyard and work. He said, whatsoever is right, I will pay you. So allow God's payment plan to cover you and overshadow you. Then the Lord may see something that's in your body that's trying to take over and cause you disharmony. See, dis-ease means disharmony, imbalance. And God in his infinite mercy will say, I speak this condition out of your body. Come back no more. Be plagued no more. And you're made whole. All of a sudden, you start getting that extensive level of energy, that heightened sense of awareness, and that this energetic burst. That's the benefit of God, His infinite mercy. Perhaps it's even in your family. There's difficulty, struggles, strife, contention, all these negative factors. And God's benefit stands to you in this season. I'm going to fix that family issue that you've been trying so desperately to resolve. So we don't know how the blessings of God and the benefits. See, God not only loads us with benefits and blessings, He provides miracles, because you and I cannot teach and instruct miracles unless we have received miracles. Amen? That's right. So the most evidence that we have to present to others is the experiences that we have encountered ourselves. Amen? Well, there it is right there. And what a wonderful, glorious, and victorious way to start off the week. That's right, to start off the week. And I know many of you are saying, well, you were in the book of Genesis and you were instructing concerning the very elementation of the beginning of civilization. That's true. We're going to reserve that for Sunday. But this is the early week motivation to set the tone, to prepare the platform for the great things that God has done, is doing. Some of them haven't even manifested yet, or is working on doing within us, our lives, and our whole environment. This is what we're doing. So we're going to come to you in a different way and approach. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this precious time of fellowship and to engage in your word. But we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And we thank you, Father God, because we know that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And we know that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. And Father God, you are our confidence. You are our Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You are our Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You are Jehovah Tisser, our righteousness. You are Jehovah Nissi, our banner. You are Jehovah Tiskadu. You are our all in all, and you are Yahweh, creator of all things. We're asking that you bless your word as we go forward. Touch, heal, provide, strengthen, edify, raise up, and oh, let the healing begin. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we thank you. Amen. That's right. Amen means so be it. That's right. And it's already done. But God watches over. Did you know that God watches over his word to perform it? He does. He makes sure it's validated and orchestrated. That's right. And when he does that, he said it, that settles it. There is no controversy. When God speaks the word to you, sometimes that word is just for you. That's right. It is for you, with you, because it's in you. And that settles it. You don't have to explain anything else to anybody else, because God said it, and that settles it. That's right. Psalms 116, a very familiar passage. And it's just a beautiful, it's, many people say it sounds like a soft ballad. Some say it sounds like a very poetic composition. But nevertheless, there is a very powerful word of encouragement to very just people who have stood in the sea, who have prayed, who have sought God and received that things just don't get any better. But let me tell you something. It was good beforehand, but the best is yet to come. The first verse, David says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. What is he saying? He says, I treasure the Lord because he hath paid consideration unto me. He listened to me in my hour of distress. Because you and I both know what it's like to have fair weather friends. They're with you when things are good. When things start going upside down, they just disappear. And they seem as though they don't want anything to do with you at that season, as though they think that you possess a bad omen. Well, those are fair weather friends. True friends are those who stick closer than any brother. That's right, who stick with you from thick and thin, and they wait the situation out for you and with you. They pray with you. They encourage you. They strengthen you. They don't consider to the fact that you are indifferent from them. They try to inspire you. These are true friends, and they're not afraid to be with you in your hour of despair. He says, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. He's saying, because God, you have done so much for me, I will serve you until the time says otherwise. While I'm young, while I'm in my middle age, many of us are, and even when I become waxing great in years, I will love you, I will respect you, and I will serve you. The third verse, the sorrows of death compass me about. You know what? This sorrows he's talking about is that sometimes, and I don't know whether you have experienced, I've experienced before, and you know something? And hey, the days and the weeks and months, maybe years and decades to come, I may even experience it again. I don't know, and you don't know. There's been times that you can feel so left out. You feel just like everything has turned against you, that nothing that you do seems to come out right. Despite how you try to go forward, something comes and holds you back. This is considered the sorrows. That's sorrowful. You become depressed. You become desolate. You become empty. You don't know what to do. And you know, it is the truth of the factor that some people are so sorrowful, so depressed, they will themselves to leave the world. It's true. They feel as though they're void of purpose and that they have no reason to live. No, even though they're not physically sick, we're not physically sick. We're not mentally ill. We don't have any diseases, plagues, or sicknesses in our body, but our mind evaluates the circumstances and discerns the environment, and we feel as though everything is against us. That's the sorrows of death, where you just feel as though nothing is right. People aren't right. Circumstances aren't right. Situations aren't right. God, I need you so desperately. I see the prosperity of the wicked. Those who oppress your people and step on your people are stepping on others to get what they want, and it's working. You know, that builds a sense of contention. That's right. And you begin to look at that person and even revile the thought of them because they're getting away with things that are not right. And those things can depress you. Then you multiply that with sometimes problems in the household where spouses aren't speaking to each other and not on good terms. Sometimes your children are going every which way but the right way. You know, and then, you know, financial challenges can add on to the weight of the circumstance itself. Then there's things that's going on within the immediate workplace that can sometimes posed as a definitive challenge, and you just get so overwhelmed, you just feel like saying, forget it, I toss my hands up and say whatever. That's when you become broken. And that's what it means. Fourth verse, then called I upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. That's like a these things can impact your soul. See, your soul is the definitive and spiritual imprint of your mind, your body, and your spirit. Your soul is the imprint. It's like that design that molds you, that makes you who it is that you are. It's your character. See, spirit and mind, that's your mood, your mindset. But your soul is the imprint of all this, your heart's desires, your passions. This is where it is. And here we look, And David the writer is saying, then called I upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. He's saying when you beseech someone, you're begging them. You're saying a petition, a special petition for something to happen. Why? Because you are in a phase of definite desperation. Okay? Fifth verse. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. And you know, the Beatitudes said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. But when we're in that desperate state of existence, you know, God feels us. He feels his children crying out to him. Don't you know he's touched by our infirmities? Infirmities are things that we're weak in and things that we cannot stand independently so or do alone. He's touched by them. And he pities us because he knows that we're fragile. That's right. We're fragile. We're limited. And then he sees this also as the sincerity of our being crying out to him. God responds and answers us. Gracious is the Lord and full of what? Mercy. He's merciful. He'll let you go all the way to the end, but not to your wit's end. And he pulls you back. Just as that's right. A careful gardener, he prunes, he purges the branches. Why? He doesn't purge the branch because they're worthless, but he sees something on that branch that could cause destruction, that could cause harm or limitation. And what he does, he doesn't take away the whole branch. He just gets rid of the infectious part. And sometimes God clears infection out of us. That's right. He sees where it has gone to a point in a place where it's taking over. He purges it. So not to kill us, not to harm us, not to put us in danger, but he does it so that he can cleanse us. See, the cleanse means the purge, and the purge means the cleanse. And after the purge and the cleanse, the growth factor can take over. That's right. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. That's right. Right when you about to give up everything, God steps in on time. He doesn't come on our time often or the timing of others. He comes right on time. Seventh verse. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dwelt and dealt bountifully with thee. That means that God has dealt with me. He has pruned and he has purged, but he did not give me over asunder to my enemies. Amen. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. That means you delivered me from hopelessness and giving up and depression and being oppressed as well as suppressed, and mine eyes from tears because I cried so much there were not any tears left, and my feet from falling. Because as wicked as it seems, don't you know there's people who sit up and just and wait for the righteous to fall where they can all plunder upon them? Why? Because these people are being demonically influenced. They're not happy with the status of their life, and they want to see those who call on the name of the Lord plunder and plight to nothingness. God is not going to, number one, give us over to the desire of our enemies. Number two, not let them triumph over us. He said, every tongue that rises up against us will be condemned. When they are condemned, they are cast down and at our mercy. And you know, God said in his word, touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. It is better. That's right. You take a millstone, cast it around your neck, and then cast yourself into the sea than just to offend one of my little ones. So we're God's property. We don't have to worry about people rising up against us. So if they rise up, God is going to knock them down. That's right. It never, ever works out in their favor because we represent him on this interplanetary domain. He says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That means I'm going to testify. I am that living testimony, nothing made up or phony. I'm going to speak the word of God. I'm going to walk the path of his righteousness with all of my imperfections. He's going to look beyond my faults and see that I need him the more. We are an imperfect people that desire the presence and the miraculous interventions of a perfect God. And when we are in anticipation like that, God does the impossible. That's right. And shames our enemies, the naysayers, the backstabbers, the workers of iniquity. He casts them all down before our feet, and we just walk over them as though they were nothing. He says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in mine haste, all men are liars. That means that you can get so depressed to the point you just say, forget it. I don't trust nobody. Everybody lies. They use people for what they want to use them for. And it can happen that way. No, this is purging and pruning. That's why God is taking out the harmful and replacing it with the blessed, with the abundance, with the great, with the miraculous. That is what he's doing when he allows this season to come. 12th verse, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? See, blessings and benefits are in two separate categories. Blessings are those things that God has entitled to you. That's right, with your name written on it. And see, what God has blessed you with, nobody else can have it because it was assigned to you. Why? This is a reward for your obedience. You put out something. And see, you're awarded because you went above and beyond what God told you to do. And benefits are those add-on incentives that are connected with your blessings. That's why it commands the repetitious cycle of prosperity to spin in your favor in your life. That's right. So we are serving God not only for the blessings, but for the benefits and just wanting to do what is right within our existence. 13th verse. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. And he's asking, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Number one, I'm going to take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. That means I'm going to keep God in constant remembrance. When all these wonderful things happen to me, I'm going to say, thank God for his blessings. Now God has blessed me to be a blessing. He gives me benefits so I can help benefit others. I want you to say that each and every day, God, you have blessed me to be a blessing. You have given me benefits so I can benefit others. And the prosperity will continue. 14th verse, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. That means that I'm going to do good in the presence of his people. I don't have to take the front and center stage, but in the presence of his people, I'm going to validate the presence of God in my life. He says, precious in the sight of the Lord as the death of his saints. It's the death of his saints. That means that, you know what? Those who have waxed great in years, who have lived decades, centurions, who lived past 100, and they have done great works in the name of God, we should not be sad to see them depart. We should thank God that these people lived past the promise of God. They went from the promise of God, that's my fourth of the 70, they lived to be 115, 112. They not only were prosperous to live that long, living beyond the promise, they lived the blessing and they lived the benefit. That's right. And I say, Lord, let me live the benefit past 110. That's a benefit for serving God and walking upright. And we all should not just sit up and occupy space in a place, but to prove God, to testify, to teach others, to instruct others. God didn't give us all this knowledge and this wisdom and this instructional capacity to sit upon it for ourselves where we can just say, look what I said, look what I did. He gave it to us so we can share with others. I look forward to seeing my great-grandchildren help to raise them and my great-great-grandchildren and my great-great-great-grandchildren. And so be it to the next generation. to share the knowledge that God gives, because it's so rich, it's so powerful, it's so substantial, it's so sustaining, it's so miraculous, it must be shared. Oh Lord, truly, I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I mean, you have redeemed me. I am truly grateful, and I honor your presence, God, for all that you have done for me. 17th verse, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. That means that I will continually give thanks, honor, and glory unto your name and to give recognition to you amongst those who believe and even those who don't believe. That's right. I will uphold the standard of what you have instructed me to do. 18th verse, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. That means I want to give. I'm not going to be given to people to see me. But I'm going to give because it's the thing to do. I'm so blessed to be a blessing. I'm so benefited, I'm going to share my benefits. Because I know that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it is being done through us. We are the messengers. We are the collaborators, the initiators of the promises of God. That's right. And it's in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise me the Lord. Because God is worthy of honor. He's worthy of glory. He's worthy of praise. And the more that the praises go up, the more the blessings and the benefits come into manifestation. God bless you. Have an extraordinary, miracle-filled week. And in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and concerning me. And all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You've got your host. That's right. The Esquire, Abby A., folks know as your Motor City Maharani, saying, I can and you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. And we'll see you again on the weekend with the manner of speaking as we go back into the book of Genesis and talk about the greatness of God's plan for man. Have a blessed, miracle-filled week. Let it be glorious, extraordinary, and extraordinary. We'll see you again real soon. Oh, yes. Yeah.